We are in Councils for the Church, page 144, paragraph 3, and it starts off with the mother's power for good. All right, and it says the sphere, let me get the mic up where it needs to be. All right, the sphere of the mother may be humble, but her influence, united with the father's, is as abiding as eternity. Next to God, the mother's power for good is the strongest known on earth. A Christian mother will ever be wide awake to discern the dangers that surround her children. She will keep her own soul in a pure, holy atmosphere. She will regulate her temper and principles by the word of God and will faithfully do her duty, living above the petty temptations which will always assail her. Because like we were talking about earlier, we are on planet Earth, and this is where the enemy of souls was cast. And he's unrelenting. And so we're going to be constantly, just like with the moms are going to get it, the dads are going to get it, as well as the kids. We're going to constantly be assailed by the enemy of souls. So she says, she goes on, the perception of children is quick, and they discern patient, loving tones from the impatient, passionate command, which dries up the moisture of love and affection in the hearts of children. The true Christian mother will not drive her children from her presence by her fretfulness and lack of sympathizing love. Mothers awake, or no, she says, mothers awake to the fact that your influence and example are affecting the character and destiny of your children. And in view of your responsibility, develop a well-balanced mind and a pure character, reflecting only the true, the good, and the beautiful. And I got to praise the Lord, too, in regards to this, because I wasn't around a lot when my kids were being raised, because either I was working or I was out being an idiot, you know, before I was a Christian. I was still shooting stick and stuff like that after I got married and that. You know, billiards, for those of you that are new, I used to do that on a regular basis. And so not being around, I wasn't going to be as much of a bad influence on my kids, although I was, because when I was around, I was, you know, bad. I wasn't a very good influence on them. But still, the way my wife and I work, she and I praise the Lord. I'm like, well, I don't want her to feel like I'm tooting her horn or anything like that. But women, for the most part, that I've come across in my life are a lot more gentle than men. Let's just put it that way. And I praise God for that, because not a lot of guys are like that. Anyway, she says, very many husbands and children who find nothing attractive at home, who are continually greeted by scolding and murmuring, seek comfort and amusement away from home, in the dram shop or in other forbidden scenes of pleasure. The wife and mother, occupied with her household cares, frequently becomes thoughtless of the little courtesies that make home pleasant to the husband and children, even if she avoids dwelling upon her peculiar vexations and difficulties in their presence. While she is absorbed in preparing something to eat or to wear, the husband and sons go in and come out as strangers. If mothers allow themselves to wear untidy garments at home, they are teaching their children to follow in the same slovenly way. Many mothers think that anything is good enough for home, for homewear, be it ever so soiled and shabby. There's my world. You know, well, then I guess a lot of guys are like that too. You know, I mean, I'm not filthy like Pigpen and, you know, or that little kid in Charlie Brown with a dust following him, but I guess, for example, if I work out in the garage all day, I might wear the same jeans the next day, even though I don't really get them all dirty. It's just, you know, but I would be just as comfortable, but I don't do this, but I could see how, because I remember when I used to watch TV, you'd see how the kids would come on, like Maury or Sally, Jesse, Raphael. Kind of shows you how long it's been since I looked at TV, but or even Donahue, and they would have these, I wouldn't call them makeovers. What they would do is they would have, they would show a picture of the mother or a picture of the dad who's, you know, hanging around the house all day long with sweats on and a T-shirt, and it's the same thing every day, in and out all the time. And I could see living like that, you know, It doesn't, it wouldn't bother me. But I could see how, and Fran taught me this about how you can't, because of what we found in Spirit of Prophecy. She reads, I read, you know, we just share with each other what we find. And you want to have a change of clothes on a regular basis because of, you never know. I mean, your biggest organ is your epidermis, you know, your skin. And so you might have something in your shirt or your slacks that, or your dress, depending upon male or female, that could be a problem if you keep wearing the same clothes every day. But there's a lot of people that do that. I remember growing up, that's how, you know, I was when I was a teenager. Especially if the jeans I was wearing I liked. You know, I'd wash them once a week. And that was it. And you'd wear the same pair of jeans all week long. But no one could tell. Because yeah, you're out there playing Frisbee all day. But when you're in school, of course, you do a lot of changing. But yeah, this is just the norm for some people. And I could picture something. I don't know. I just got this one picture in my mind of the one woman standing there with these sweats on and the shirt. And the shirt's kind of hanging on one side. And the sweats are all baggy. And they don't even fit right. And you get these bare ankles with these slippers on. And the hair's all matted and, you know, just, and this is how she is day in and day out. And so what they did is they do kind of like a makeover and show her how this is how you could look if you decided to just put forth a little effort. But and it looks great. And they always say, oh, yeah, I'll do that for the rest of my life. And yeah, they never do. But yeah, I could see how that would affect children if the mom is that way. So anyway, she goes on to say that, but they soon lose their influence in the family. The children draw comparisons between their mother's dress and that of others who dress neatly. And their respect for her is weakened. Isn't that something? And it just has to do with the clothing. It's amazing how the eyes play so many important roles in our decision-making process, especially as children. She says, the true wife and mother will perform her duties with dignity and cheerfulness, not considering it degrading to do with her own hands whatever it is necessary to do in a well-ordered household. Well, amen to that. And the next one's titled, The Head of the Family to Imitate Christ. All right, now I'm going to get convicted a lot on this one, because I know when I was even as a young Christian, I wasn't very good at this. You know, my approach was rather papal, if you will, because I was Roman Catholic, raised in a Roman Catholic household. And so, but anyway, it says, The Head of the Family to Imitate Christ. And it says, all members of the family center in the Father. He is the lawmaker, illustrating in his own manly bearing the sterner virtues, energy, integrity, honesty, patience, courage, diligence, and practical usefulness. Okay, patience there, I used to have a big issue with that. But now here's the weird thing, too. I could never figure this out. I'm out and about. Let's say I'm standing in line, because I remember this like it was yesterday. I was standing in line waiting to pay a gas bill. This is back when we lived up near Chicago. And I dealt with it. 15 minutes standing in that line because, you know, I had a red bill, had to get it paid. Otherwise, they're going to shut the gas off. And I had to stand in line with everybody else that was getting a red bill, right? And I waited 10, 15 minutes. But in the house, if anything took more than 30 seconds to get done, I'd be all upset. I just never understood it. Why do I let it, you know? I guess I just didn't want to act like a nut out in public. But one time I did, and boy, did I get humbled quickly. Unbelievable. I can't remember everything that actually went on, but I remember two women laughing. You know, because it really ticked me off what this happened, and this one lady said this. And it had to do with a bill that I wasn't able to pay, and they wouldn't give me time on something like that. And I kind of read them the riot act in front of everybody. And as I was walking out, I kind of like dropped whatever I was, and stuff spilled all over the place. And then they just started laughing at me. And I could just hear them saying in the background, well, that's what you get for treating people like that. You know, so I never did that again. but that was the first and only time I ever exploded in public like that I can recall. And boy, was that humbling. And that happened quick. I think it was in a Walgreens, up near Chicago. Anyway, she goes on to say that the father is, in one sense, the priest of the household, laying upon the altar of God the morning and the evening sacrifice. The wife and children should be encouraged to unite in this offering and also to engage in the song of praise. See, I never knew that when we were, you know, even when we were young Christians, we never did that. It's amazing. Anyway, morning and evening, the father, as priest of the household, should confess to God the sins committed by himself and his children, and his children through the day. All right, wait. Morning and evening, the father, as priest, should confess to God the sins committed by himself and his children. Well, yeah, that's, yeah, when you go to your private prayer, you just, yeah. Those sins which have come to his knowledge, and also those which are secret, of which God's eye alone has taken cognizance, should be confessed. This rule of action, zealously carried out by the father when he is present or by the mother when he is absent, will result in the blessings to the family. And I learned to do that early on because of what I saw went down with Job. Even though his kids ended up dying anyway, when that twister came through when they were having that birthday party, he still offered a sacrifice for them. He still, just in case they do something sinful. And I've always done, and I always thought that was the wise thing to do if you got kids. And but it's nice to hear, though, to get the confirmation that that is right to do. Because think about it. They may not know to confess or repent. And I'm not saying that I can get their sins forgiven by proxy, no. But I know our Father winks at their ignorance. And so if I confess for them and, you know, and ask the Lord to forgive them, because, again, he's going to wink anyway, it's going to bless my faith as well as, you know, have that blessing on the family, like she says here, and it make it that much easier and quicker for the children to get to that path they need to be on, I would think, right? So she says, to the man who is a husband and a father, I would say, be sure that a pure, holy atmosphere surrounds your soul. You are to learn daily of Christ. Never, never are you to show a tyrannical spirit in the home. See, they're right there. Like I said, I'm going to get convicted here. Because that is, and I still to this day, even though I haven't done this in years, I still to this day, and I think, and I don't have to do this, and it's stupid for me to do it, and I know, because I tell you guys all the time, 1 John 1:9, he has forgiven you, but I have a tendency to continue to apologize, because I feel like such a jerk the way I acted when I was young, a young dad, because I was pretty tyrannical, but I know the kids have forgiven me. Wife has forgiven me. I know my father has. But sometimes I just, I just throw up a quick, like, I'm sorry or something like that. And life, you know, it's just me, though. That's the way I am. Because I just, it's, thank you for having, it's mostly more or less saying thank you for having such long suffering towards me. As many of you do. Because we all do this. I know we all do this. You know, we're constantly thankful to the Father for the long suffering that he has bestowed upon us. Because if it wasn't for his patient. Could you imagine if the Father was anything like we are? Wouldn't be anybody alive. Seriously, because he'd be just zapping them left and right, just destroying them. Okay, he just looked at that kid the wrong way. You're dead. And, you know, it just, that's the way it would be. Because that's how mankind is. And why is it called mankind when it's actually man pretty rude? Or man mean? You know? I never got that. Why is it mankind when we got wars, rumors of wars? Murders, mass murders, rapes. I mean, it's not mankind to me. So anyway, she says, the man who does this is working in partnership with satanic agencies. Bring your will into submission to the will of God. Do all in your power to make the life of your wife pleasant and happy. Take the word of God as the man of your counsel. And here's a good, because the Lord convicted me on this many years ago. And I'll give you the actual Bible verse that he blessed me with in this regard. Because like I said, I wasn't kidding. I was pretty tyrannical. So, okay, here, it's in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, you know, according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. See, something to me, like, I think the most important aspect of being a Christian, you know, besides the fact that, yeah, we know what's going to happen tomorrow, we just don't know when. We understand prophecy. We understand doctrine as Christians, as strong Christians. We study and we do what we know. But I think the most valuable, in my own eyes, is just my private opinion, the most important thing to me is my prayer life. You know, to have that constant conversation, that constant back and forth with him. Because I know what the word prayer means, talk. And so to be able to have that back and forth with him, even though I'm not hearing a voice 24/7, if you know what I mean. I don't want to mess that up. And if I'm treating my wife like garbage, well, then I could pretty well say, for, you know, don't bother praying anymore, because it's just going to hit deaf ears. He's not going to listen. He doesn't want anything to do with it. It's like your hands are full of blood. It's just like with the people, like you stated in the Old Testament, that he doesn't hear their prayers because their hands are full of blood. You know, but she goes on. She says, in the home, live out the teachings of the word. Then you will live them out in the church and will take them with you to your place of business. The principles of heaven will ennoble all your transactions. Angels of God will cooperate with you, helping you to reveal Christ to the world. Do not allow the vexations of your business to bring darkness into your home life. If, when little things occur that are not exactly as you think they should be, you fail to reveal patience, long forbearance, kindness, and love, you show that you have not chosen as a companion him who so loved you that he gave his life for you, that you might be one with him. And that there, I mean, like when you look at someone and you know, the thought always comes to mind with me in that respect, especially on the street, and, well, even more so in the house, like when you're raising young people. Because I heard a Baptist preacher say it once, and we know it's just a paraphrase on that which is written, but by the grace of God, there go I. And so if I see a guy on Skid Row after an all-night binge, I'm not going to judge him, because already he's judged. I mean, he's told me he's a drunk. And so I don't have to judge him, but I'm not going to look at him as if he's, you know, if I'm holier than thou, but by the grace of God, I could be lying in that gutter too. You know, I just had different situations. And plus, what's the reason for him being there? It's not, see, 9 times out of 10, it's not because they like the drink. Because I knew a guy that literally died because he drank too much. He was one of my best friends. And I know he's told me more than once that, yeah, it's not so much the drink. Okay, he got to a point where he liked the high, but it says the reason for getting there was because of the issues of life. It helps to forget. And so what is the reason for the drinking is the question that is better asked, you know, because a lot of preachers, I noticed this when I was, you know, first starting out and trying to figure out the work he would have me do. And they would always walk up to these drunks and say, you know, the Bible says that no drunkards are allowed in heaven. You think he don't know that? You know how many preachers told him that in the last week? I mean, seriously, he knows that. And, well, did you know that the Bible says that you're gonna fall down and scrape yourself and do this and do that and wake up in the morning and want to do it all over again? Yeah, he knows the Bible says that. And even if he doesn't know the Bible says that, he knows that's what happens. You got to find out why he's drinking. And then share Christ, the love of Christ, the forbearance, the long-suffering, the mercy. And the same thing with the kids. You know, even before they get to a point where they start wanting a drink. So again, do not allow the vexations of business. Well, I mean, that's, I already read that. Yeah, okay, so next one, it says, it is no evidence of manliness in the husband for him to dwell constantly upon his position as head of the family. It does not increase respect for him to hear him quoting scripture to sustain his claims to authority. And, oh, man, there's people out there that are like that. I've ran into people, too, that used to be similar in the faith to us that have talked about their wives like that and say, put them under, well, she's just a woman. Yeah, well, you're just a man. And you're not too manly, if you ask me, because, you know, treating her like that, that's not pretty, you know, what's next? You going to hit her? Because that's where it goes. And I've met preachers like that. As a matter of fact, me and my wife left a church because of the way this one pastor literally ridiculed his wife on the pulpit. And it was goofy the way that was, you know, we were in that church for a while too. And I had to turn my head the other way a couple of times when he would do stuff like that. And, but it's not right. God did not put Eve under Adam's foot or any of our wives. But some guys will do that. They'll it's just like with the drunk on the side of the road. Yeah, old Timothy took a little wine for a sour stomach. You know, and so they'll twist the scriptures to make it look like it's their ability or it's their right to claim authority over the wife. Well, it is the spiritual and biblical right, yeah, but you don't flaunt it. You don't slap it upside her head every chance you get. It's not right. She has a voice. And a lot of times look at Nabal's wife. A lot of times the wife has got, you know, thanks to the patience and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness that most women have. And men have a tendency to react with a knee-jerk reaction thing. You know, a lot of times the wife is there. It's not just to help meet around the house. I mean, help meet has a lot of stuff. And it's not even around the house because, you know, guys, you know, I wash dishes every now and then. And so, I mean, the help meet thing isn't just about that. It's also a lot of times you don't see. Why do you think Jesus sent them out two by two? Iron sharpeneth iron. And so a lot of times my wife's going to see stuff I don't see and vice versa. And same thing with you. You know, sometimes your spouse will see something you didn't catch and vice versa. There's a reason for that. So she finishes by saying, it will not make him, well, let me backtrack a little bit. It does not increase respect for him, the husband, to hear him quoting scripture to sustain his claims of authority or claims to authority. It will not make him more manly to require his wife, the mother of his children, to act upon his plans as if they were infallible. Whew, it's like I'm going back in time. But praise God for the Holy Spirit. She says, the Lord has constituted the husband, the head of the wife, to be her protector. He is the house band of the family. Now you know where the word husband came from, right? And binding the members together. House band. Binding the members together. Even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the mystical body. Let every husband who claims to love God carefully study the requirements of God in his position. Christ's authority is exercised in wisdom, in all kindness and gentleness. And now a lot of guys like to think of that as, oh, you know, it's not. You know, I like being macho. Well, you know, it's really not all that. I mean, it's the stronger man is the guy that can hold his tongue. The stronger man is the guy that can walk away in a fight. So a lot of guys like says, well, look, he just hurt me and made me look bad. So I got to prove my point, get up there and slap him upside and, you know, and beat him up. And because I can, and I'm a man. Well, be a little stronger, man. Walk away. Especially, you know, if it's in the house, in your family. So he is the house band of the family, binding the members together, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the mystical body. Let every husband who claims to love God carefully study the requirements of God in his position. Christ's authority is exercised in wisdom, in all kindness and gentleness. So let the husband exercise his power and imitate the great head of the church, that being, of course, Jesus Christ. So amen and amen and amen. Next week we'll pick it up at parents. Labor together for your children's salvation. Well, amen to that. You know, I wonder if she's got anything in regards to older children. You know, because a lot of us, our kids have grown and they're out of the nest and whatnot. And because sometimes it's a difficult row to hoe. I know I deal with some issues in that area, with, you know, because some of my children aren't walking as they should, and I know some of you have children that aren't walking as they should, and so it'd be nice to have a back and forth in regards to how each of us work on this together. And so, but in any event, please pray for your brothers and sisters in the church and their children, because we're all going through it, especially if you got kids. We're all going through it. So if you can kneel, let's finish in... Yeah, Job's kids were older. Yeah. Yeah. He had 11 of them, didn't he? Or 12? But yeah, they were older. They had their own house. They were having that party yet. Well, at least the oldest, I would imagine. But, yeah. Oh, wow. 65 years of marriage. Whew. Praise God. That's like Fran and I, you know, as many decades as we've been married, that's not normal in today's world. It's amazing. Like my parents, too, as long as they were married. So, amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us on the Sabbath day with a little bit better understanding of where that light is shining on our path. We have some pebbles that kick off the edge, and so thank you for helping us get there and walk much better. And thank you so much for helping us walk much better, because we can't do this without you. Thank you again for blessing everyone here in attendance, everyone on the radio, and everyone that's been uplifted in the prayer requests earlier, as well as those that are on our prayer list permanently. And thank you so much for answering our prayers up to this point and answering the ones tomorrow. And please accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.